Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast. Got a couple more questions, Bible questions that came in. One from Matthew 8, 1-4. Why did Jesus tell the healed leper not to tell anyone about the miracle? Why did he sometimes do miracles very publicly and other times tell people to keep it secret? That particular miracle, there's a few answers to this. First, that particular miracle, he told the leper initially not to tell anyone, but to go to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses had commanded for his cleansing, just as the law said, as a testimony to them. So the idea is, he wanted first them to, this was the law of Moses required this, and Jesus wanted the guy to follow the law, obviously, because it's good to follow the law of God, but in this particular case, it's especially good because what would happen is he'd go to the priests, present himself, they would go through the process in the book of Leviticus about making sure that he was indeed healed from leprosy, and then once that was verified by the priests, they would have boxed themselves in somewhat of a corner because they would have documented one of Jesus' healings. Then once it was documented, they would find out that Jesus is the one that did it, and they couldn't deny that he had healed leprosy. So that would have been strategically good. But beyond that, just the second question, why did Jesus sometimes do miracles very publicly and other times tell people to keep secret? And in many cases, actually, he did both. He'd do it publicly and then tell people not to spread it. The reason for that, there's a few reasons. One is that it might accelerate the process of his crucifixion and the misunderstandings people had about messiahship. Everyone was looking for a political messiah, and that would create problems for what Jesus was trying to do. And there's various explanations. But the most important one, I think, and the one that is really highlighted in the book of Mark, is if people went around trying to preach about Christ prior to his death and resurrection, they would have gotten the gospel wrong. An essential component of the gospel is the sufferings and death and resurrection of Christ. And if you try to preach Christ without that part, you get it completely wrong. And Mark really does a masterful job showing how the disciples, even after Jesus tells them that he's going to die and rise, still can't get it right. And so it's Jesus said, don't even try to talk about this until after the resurrection, after you see it and understand it. Then once that happened, then they're supposed to go and tell the whole world. And there's a lesson for us in that. We have to be careful giving our testimony. Jesus never once forbade anybody from preaching the gospel. What he forbade was giving their testimony. Your testimony is the story of what happened between you and God from your perspective. And that can be a very powerful thing to do if you understand what happened from the perspective of the Word of God. But if you don't, if you just understand it from your own perspective, you can get it horribly wrong, and telling your testimony can do more harm than good. So what we learn from that is make sure you listen to what Jesus says about the meaning of your testimony and have it center on the cross. Another question from Matthew 8:28. Why did the demons drown the pigs? Why would the people not want Jesus in the area after he cured the demon-possessed man? Well, if you don't know the story, there was a man with thousands of demons. Jesus cast the demons out. They asked, can we go into the pigs? Jesus said, sure, go into the pigs. And then the pigs ran down the hill and jumped in the lake and were drowned. I believe the main reason why Jesus granted the request was to show how many demons he was actually casting out. Otherwise, nobody would know. But then why did the demons do that? Why did they drown those pigs? I don't know that the demons intentionally killed the pigs. I'm guessing they didn't. I think that the pigs panicked with the demons in them, and the demons, the fact that they panicked just shows the destructive nature of those demons. But I believe that Jesus sovereignly controlled that whole thing and allowed the pigs to panic in that way because those demons were begging Jesus, don't send us into the abyss. And the understanding of the Jews at that time was the abyss was at the bottom of the sea, and that's exactly where those demons ended up. So I think it was a picture of what Jesus did. He did send them into the abyss. First, he let them go into the pigs so everyone could see how many there were and how mighty this miracle really was, and then they went straight to the abyss. I don't think that the demons purposely did that. They wanted to be in a living thing, but what they wanted, they didn't get. You don't always get what you want, especially when you're a demon. And then on the question of why they wanted Jesus to leave, if he just delivered them from this horrible calamity of having this maniac in their area that everyone was afraid of, why would they kick Jesus out? The answer? The only thing they were afraid of more than the maniac was a supernatural being like Jesus. The maniac, they could control. They couldn't control him, but they could at least live with him. They knew how to navigate life with that guy in their life. Jesus, they didn't know what to make of him. He was too unpredictable, too powerful. He scared them. And he was holy. And holiness, unless you repent and have something done about your unholiness, holiness is scary to be around. And so they just wanted him. They didn't understand him. They couldn't control him. They didn't know what life was going to be like with him around. And he was just too unpredictable, and so they wanted him out of there. It's just an example of the many in Scripture how sinful people respond to being in the presence of a holy God. They will murder. We, in our own sinful flesh, confronted with perfect holiness, will murder our own Creator rather than bow the knee to Him like we should, unless there's a special work of the Spirit done in our hearts that brings us to repentance. So those are the only two questions I have. If you have any other questions, go ahead and send them. And one other thing, I want to let you know that I have been kicking around the idea of moving my attention away from the blog and more toward this podcast, doing like a daily podcast where we could call it something like Drive Time Devotions or something like that. And what it would be is just a 15-minute daily podcast going through a passage of Scripture, maybe work through a book of the Bible, where I would give a summary of a section of Scripture, some thoughts about the nature of God, attributes of God, something like that, and then a thought to carry with you through that day. Maybe a prayer or something, so that when you're driving to work, driving home from work, or maybe just up in the morning and you need a little help with devotions, you could have something that you could listen to that would help put your thoughts on God, or maybe just over your lunch hour, something to refocus your heart on God. If you would be interested in listening to something like that, I'd like to hear from you. So if you're listening to this podcast, shoot me an email, let me know that you, or send me a text. My phone number is 303-523-5070. Email FFYS@foodforyoursoul.net. That's Frank Young Sam, FFYS, or foodforyoursoul@foodforyoursoul.net. And let me know. So if you're listening, send me an email. Let me know if you would listen or not. If you're not listening right now, then send me an email and tell me you have no idea what I'm talking about.